Very special guest today. Everybody knows him, Congressman Phil Gingrich. He is a U.S. He's in the U.S. House of Representatives representing Georgia's 11th congressional district. He's been serving there since 2003. Congressman Gingrich is by profession a doctor and a leading conservative in Congress, and he's here today to talk to us about Obamacare. Congressman Gingrich, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, glad to be with you. I was overwhelmed with Steve's enthusiasm. Ty J, you need to kind of perk it up a little bit.
Should we get Steve some coffee over there?
Show a little more enthusiasm.
That's right. We'll certainly make a note of that. Now, tell me this, if you would, sir. Tell me, how do you think the Supreme Court ruling on health care affects health care here in the United States, and how it affects our federal budget?
Look, it's destroying health care as we know it, and it's taking one heck of a slice out of our federal budget. Probably going to cost, I think the latest CBO score, in fact, is $1.7 trillion, not $900 billion. President Obama was absolutely determined to get a score that was under a trillion. So, you know, he came in at $900 billion, but with smoke and mirrors, you know. But it's 10 years worth of taxes and 6 years worth of benefits is part of the smoke and mirrors that they game they played. But to answer the two questions, it's going to kill the budget, and it's going to get worse and worse, of course, in each 10-year segment in the future. As far as healthcare, look, you guys know, I practiced medicine for 31 years since the day I walked off the campus of the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta. But you know, I know things can't stay the same, but it's getting so bad now that I honestly believe, particularly primary care physicians that are so desperately needed, particularly in the more rural areas and inner city, in regard to Medicare and Medicaid and taking care of the seniors, they're not going to be any doctors. It'll be a bunch of probably hard-working, good mid-level practitioners, but they're not doctors. And so I'm worried. I'm very worried if this law prevails.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but do you think that Obamacare will, if it is held up, and if for some reason it's not repealed, and God forbid it doesn't get repealed, but if it goes into place, do you think it will collapse our system, our medical system, and become a single-payer type system?
Yeah, you just hit the nail right on the head. That is exactly right. In the committee markup on energy and commerce, you know, we go back now 2009 time frame, because the law finally was signed on March the 23rd, 2010, over 2 years ago. The markup, that's when you know you have an amendment and that sort of thing to the bill that was written completely by Democrats like Henry Waxman and Nancy Pelosi. But on committee, you know, we offered Republican amendments, and of course they were all struck down on a party line vote. But finally, when they knew they had the votes, and just before final passage in the Energy and Commerce Committee, that was kind of the first step, a number of Democrats then started offering amendments for national health insurance, for a public option. That's what they want. I mean, people like John Dingell, I love him. He's a great guy, a great person. I've been in the Congress over 50 years, but you know, they don't make any bones about it. They want a single payer system.
Let me come at it this way. I want to come back to that topic in just a second. But is this election, this upcoming election, do you believe it's our last chance to prevent a European socialist model from an economic standpoint and from a healthcare standpoint?
From every perspective, Ty, from every perspective, that's exactly what's going on here. And I think that maybe it wasn't intentional, but the Supreme Court Chief Justice may have given we Republicans a shot in the arm, a little serendipity, but you know, because people need to understand, if President Obama is elected, reelected, and the Democrats continue to control the Senate, then what you just described is exactly what's going to happen to this country.
And I don't understand why anybody, and we went over this in our show last week, but there's story after story in Europe of people who can't get care or violate the rules of the care and can't get surgery as a result of it. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. And back to Supreme Court Justice Roberts just for a second. It looks like, if you read between the lines, he changed his mind at the very last minute. Why do you think he would have done that?
Boy, that's a good one. And yes, I've been reading that stuff too. And it sounds like it's pretty credible. I mean, the sources are pretty credible.
Right.
And it's a little unprecedented. I don't know. I would love to get inside his mind and understand what he was thinking. And if he had committed to his initially, and it's my understanding that right after hearing the testimony, you know, that was back, what, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, they make the decision that week, and of course it's not final, and then at the last minute he changed his mind and went from being on the side of the conservative four to the side of the liberal four in regard to saying that indeed this law is constitutional on the necessary and proper
right.
clause of the Constitution, the taxation ability of Congress to enact a law like that, although he did say that under the Commerce Clause, forcing people to do something just because they exist was not constitutional.
All right, we're talking today to Congressman Phil Gingrey, and we're coming up on a hard break, so we'll see you straight ahead. All right, welcome back to the Ty J. Young Show. The theme, as always, is growth with protection, because it's not how much you make, it is how much you get to keep. I'm Ty Young, your host. Easy for me to say. With me today, my co-host, as always, Steve Rodriguez. All right, we're talking today to Congressman Phil Gingrey, representing the 11th District right here in Georgia. Now, compromise is what we hear a lot from the left, and we hear, and it seems to me as I watch the media that many times people on the left will generate these crises that we have to deal with, a fiscal cliff or the Bush tax cuts. Haven't we already compromised from the right?
We have, but much less so, much less so. And I want my constituents to understand that. The class that came in 2010 to the Congress, both the House and the Senate, strong fiscal conservatives, a lot of people with a Tea Party bent, which is not a pejorative in any way, shape, or form,
right.
coming from me. I mean, that's a compliment. And so I've been up here now. This is my 10th year, my fifth term, and I'm seeing more and more determination from the right in each new Congress, and I hope that be the same thing again in these elections in four months, primaries coming up in Georgia, of course, in 2 weeks. So I know people get frustrated and they say, well, you know, you guys not doing enough, your message stinks, and you know, why don't you? But the Democrats, I've heard them moaning and groaning, well, the Republicans are killing us, we have no message, you know, we're all over the place and they're eating our lunch. So you know, the other side is there's a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth and angst on their part too. We're doing better than our constituents give us credit for, but boy, I can understand their frustration.
No doubt about that. The solution to our budgetary crisis seems obvious. We can't spend more than what we take in, and we're spending $1.5 trillion more than what we're taking in. What's the solution to that?
The solution to it, guys, it, quite frankly, is a balanced budget amendment.
Right.
And I just don't think there's any other way. In 1996, we had a vote last year, as you know, when the balanced budget amendment passed the House, did not pass the Senate. And we had that vote in 1996, and it failed in the Senate by one vote to get the two-thirds majority. Mm-hmm. And many of the Democrats in particular back then said, oh, you know, we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We can balance our budget. We're adults, you know. That's why you sit here. You know, we can crunch numbers.
Right.
You know how much the debt has increased since 1996, don't you? $9 trillion. Mm. So much for members of Congress having the wherewithal or the determination. You know, a lot of these members up here, if they're from a state, I won't mention any, but New York and California come to mind.
Right.
And they're getting more than their fair share, much more than their fair share of that borrowed money you talked about.
So sure they are.
They don't want a balanced budget amendment. So they're going to vote no every time.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? And I'd love to hear your comment here. Isn't that interesting that intellectually we know you can't spend more than what you take in? At some point, that house of cards collapses, and they're going to suffer too. Why do you think they would just continue doing that, continue voting that way?
Again, just what I said, you know, it's you look at the states, and thank goodness in Georgia, and with Governor Deal and Governor Perdue before him, and quite honestly, Governor Barnes as well, Governor Miller. We have a AAA credit rating in the state of Georgia, only one of seven states that have that. And, you know, I think 49 out of 50 in their constitution have a balanced budget requirement. And that's the way you do it. And that's the way you keep a AAA credit rating. And as you guys know, we lost that AAA credit rating at the federal level. And it's just going to go worse. It's going to get worse. And all these cliffs, these fiscal cliffs that are coming up, like the sequester and the Democrats wanting to let the Bush tax cuts expire. And increase taxes on the job creators, and it doesn't make any sense. And we have got a lot of work to do between now and December the 31st. And I just hope and pray that we don't just cop out and kick the can down the road and you know try to do a bunch of CRs and increase the debt ceiling. Why should we ever increase the debt ceiling until we have passed every one of our spending bills for the fiscal year? How would you know how much money you need to borrow?
What a great question.
Until you know how much you're going to spend.
Right. What a great question. We're talking today to Congressman Phil Gingrey. Question for you. I'm praying for a Republican majority in Congress after this election, a Republican majority in the Senate, and a Republican president. If we do that, and God answers my prayers, do you think we'll pass a balanced budget amendment, and do you think we'll get our fiscal house in order?
I think that we will get our fiscal house in order ever so slowly. I hate to say that, but that's the reality. Now, if we could pass a balanced budget amendment, again, we wouldn't get our fiscal house in order overnight, but people would look at that and know at a date certain what would happen, that we would get our fiscal house in order. There'd be no more smoke and mirrors. There'd be no more kicking the can down the road, particularly with the balanced budget amendment. You had a cap on the amount of spending as a percentage of GDP, say 19% of GDP. And you could only violate that in times of a declared emergency, indeed insurrection, Congress declaring war.
Right.
So I think that's ultimately, I don't see any other way, because everything else is just almost like a Ponzi scheme.
It really is.
Spending overseas contingency operation money to pay for things, and because you haven't done the emergency spending, that's borrowed money anyway.
Right.
So you say that borrowed money we didn't have to spend on a war, so let's spend it on something else.
You know,
it's crazy.
It's very interesting to hear you say that it's like a Ponzi scheme, because that's exactly how it looks to the everyday citizen walking down the road and watching the news. Does this administration recognize that the average person out there recognizes this is smoke and mirrors, or do they think that the average person maybe doesn't catch on?
Well, they're hoping the latter. They're spinning pretty hard.
Yes, they are.
And I hope that they're not successful. But let's be fair. You know, I've been in the majority some and in the minority some, and I definitely like the majority better. But we could have been a little bit better fiscally under George W. Bush.
No question.
You know, and people, Republicans, and that's why the Tea Party is so angry at all of us, you know, and they're mostly Republicans, and they're not all caught up in social issues, although many of them are staunchly pro-life and in traditional family values, but they're focused on the fiscal issues, and they have given a wake-up call to the Republican Party, and that's good. That's a necessary thing.
All right, we're talking today to Congressman Phil Gingrey. Congressman, if someone wants to get involved in your campaign, they want to find out more about you, they want to make a donation to your cause, how would they do that?
Well, the website is www.gingrey.com, www.gingrey.com, and my campaign office in Marietta, 770-792-9799.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll post that on our website. We'll actually put a link directly from the Ty J. Young Show website directly to your website, so folks can go from one place to the other pretty easily.
Hi, and Stephen, I thank you for that very much, because I think that I'm doing the people's work, and I think they're satisfied with my voting record. But you know, I've got opposition in the primary, and they're credible, nice guys. You know, it's a good thing. It makes me better, makes me work harder. But I don't assume anything. I don't take anything for granted, and we won't know until July the 31st, 2 weeks from what, yesterday or 2 days ago. And I'm looking forward to continuing to serve this new 11th Congressional District. It's changing from 9 counties in northwest Georgia to just 4, which are more Atlanta-centric, Bartow, Cherokee, Cobb, and a little bit of Fulton County.
Gotcha. Congressman Gingrey, thanks so much for being with us. You've been a great guest.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it and hope to be back on your show soon.
All right. Absolutely. Take care now, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.